possibly round up tonight. There doesn't seem to be any end in sight. It's just getting more exciting. That's why we want to round up. That's when it got more exciting, looking at the name of Jesus. And we've said a number of things, and we'll try and tidy it up loose ends. We looked at the name of Jesus in the four Gospels. We looked at the name in the epistles. We've seen that there's a huge difference between the import of the name, the authority behind the name in the four Gospels, and what the name means now in the epistles. And one of the differences we've been able to establish is that Jesus of the Gospels is referred to as the Anointed One, the Messiah of the world, yet the Shepherd of Israel. And he came in the 33 and a half years for a nation, the Jewish nation. But when he died on the cross, he became a gift to the whole world. We saw John 3:16 fulfilled, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And as we looked at the scripture, we saw that Jesus wasn't given until he was on the cross. When he was on the cross, he became a gift to the whole world. When he was born, it was a gift primarily to the nation of Israel. So we saw that in the Gospels, he's introduced differently. We also spent time looking at the different terminologies, that they are not just semantics, they mean something. That Jesus is referred to in the four Gospels, his function was that of the second Adam. But in the epistles, we simply refer to as the last Adam. They're not the same. It was the second Adam, simply means he stood in the same place Adam stood. As a man, God who became flesh but was still a man, he suffered temptation. We know God cannot be tempted, but he was tempted. So if there was no possibility of falling, he wouldn't have been tempted. So he was fully a man. So as the second Adam, he was meant to, so to speak, start a new race of being. As the last Adam, the Bible says he's a life-giving spirit. He didn't become that until he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So we saw in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 12, where Jesus said, maybe we should start from there tonight. John's Gospel, we looked at it, but then repetition ensures full understanding. John's Gospel, chapter 14. If you leave me to it, I'll just read the whole chapter. I mean, it's just sweet. It's music in my ears, you know. Because I'm not standing where the disciples stood. I'm standing where they were looking forward to. So it's a whole world of difference. I am the celebration Jesus spoke about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Why am I going to prepare a place? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." So we saw in those three verses that Jesus was referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. Where was he going when he says, "I go to my Father"? He was going to the Father's right hand. That death was a process by which he passed through, and the resurrection was what ensured he got to the Father's right hand. So the Father's right hand is where he was referring to when he said, "I will prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be there also." So whatever Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection is such that he has brought you and I into the Father's right hand, so that where he is, we can be there also. Hallelujah. So we saw that. Then in the same spirit, in line with what he's trying to communicate, he began to speak. If you go all the way down to verse 12, see what Jesus said. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," to the Jewish mind, when you say "verily," is strong enough. When you say "verily, verily," it's almost the equivalent of "I swear." Okay, it means "most assuredly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So we said also that the key to that verse is, "I go unto my Father. I go unto my Father." He had already said that in verse 2 and 3, "I go unto my Father." He is still speaking about something that will take place when he gets to the Father's right hand, or to the resurrection. "I go to my Father. Why will you do greater works? I go to my Father. He that believeth on me," I'm just going to now be expounding on some things or be emphasizing on things. Notice that "he that believes on me." And I'm going to show us through scripture that believing on him is something that happens once. It's not something that you keep doing. It happens only once. Once you understand this happens only once, you understand the key to using the name of Jesus. Because we've taught that to believe on him is something you keep doing. To believe on him is something you do only once. And once you do it once, all that the name has to offer is your present tense possession and experience. He says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than one than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, notice, you shall ask. I will go to the Father. You shall ask. So the two events he's speaking about here are when the future, as of the time Jesus was speaking about it. I go to my Father was in the future. Greater works was in the future. Because there were things that he had done, but he said, greater works than what I have done will you do also. Because I go to my Father. It means therefore that there was something about his going to the Father that will confer upon mankind the same ability, the same status. Jesus, in effect, is saying something, that some of the things you see me doing is not just a function of faith in God. It's a function of me being a son of God. You notice that the quality of miracles that Jesus did surpassed that which any prophet did. Not because he was God in the flesh, but because he was the son of God. That's the difference. So he was the only man to ever be called a prophet who ever referred to God as Father. Then we also notice something in John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1 verse 18. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18. See what it says. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? Declared it. So we see in this verse of scripture when it says, no man has seen God at any time. In this same verse, he uses two words to address. He's addressing, Paul, John is writing to them, revelation about who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to accomplish. He has told us in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. He told us that law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Then he told us no man has seen God at any time. That means therefore that whatever testimony you've had before, he comes. It's not a complete testimony, because they heard about God, they saw his similitude, but they never saw God. That means their testimony cannot be final, because they didn't really see God. So the one who sees God is the only one who can give a full testimony of who God really is. Do you agree with me? So he says, no man has seen God at any time. Then he switches. The only begotten Son, he doesn't say prophet now. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In that verse, it tells us the reason why they never fully saw or understood God is because they didn't know him as Father. Hallelujah. God can only be understood in the fullness of his character and nature as Father. And no man ever expressed him as Father until Jesus came. So that was the secret of Jesus carrying the full revelation, because he didn't know God as God. He knew God as Father. And as God, God couldn't be known. But as Father, he could be revealed. Hallelujah. Are we together? So the statements of Jesus are very important. As we're looking at it, we're looking at what that name contains, because we have certain things now. That's not a function of prayer. It is our reality. And the more we grasp it and understand it, it changes our walk. It affects our experience. Because Jesus was so looking forward to it, he spent several chapters teaching us about it. I go to the Father. The works that I do, I say to you excitedly, you will do that and greater works than this shall you do. So Charles speaks about ability that you and I will have after Jesus has gone to the Father. Has he gone to the Father? Hallelujah. So it's important. So let's go to John chapter 5 now. See what he said. Because we said something last time, and sometimes I just throw some things out and I don't tie the loose ends. So let me say it again so it will be clear. John chapter 5 and verse 19. See what Jesus said. Again, when you're looking at the scriptures, you have to know when is this, what time frame is he speaking about? Is he speaking about the experience that he had with him that time, or is he speaking about a future event? So yeah, Jesus began to speak about certain things that wasn't a reference to what he was doing then. He was talking about what will happen. So see what he says in verse 19. He says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him one greater works than this, that you may marvel. That verse of scripture suggests something. that Jesus used that same phrase he used in John chapter 14, that the works that I do, you do, and greater works. So what he was saying was is that the Father shows him the things he does. Jesus was saying, I'm doing certain quality of miracles now that the Father is able to show me, listen carefully, as the second Adam, as Christ the anointed one, as one who has limited authority. Never at any point in time before Jesus rose from the dead did he ever say, all authority is given to me. What authority did he have? As a man anointed by the Spirit, sent primarily to the nation of Israel. That's a limited scope of authority and influence. Then Jesus said something also that you may also miss. He's also saying this verse of scripture that he is limited in knowledge. So you're looking in that verse. Is it that verse? Let's read that verse again. See what it says. For the Father loveth the Son and shows him. Notice that word. What does "not show" mean? Is that past, present, or future? English graduates. Past, present, or future? Sorry? Present experience, isn't it? Showeth him all things that himself doeth. That's what the Father is doing now. Notice the next part. And he will show him. Is that future or past? Future. Okay. He will show him one greater works than this. It means that if the Father will show and is not yet showing, whatever the Father will show, he will show to Jesus when Jesus is in a different order of existence or authority or rank. So he just deviated from the present to the future. He begins to speak about what he will be, where he will occupy when he goes to the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. He will show him greater works. And we know one of those greater works is that men will get born again. It was a work Jesus could not accomplish when he was on earth. Said he will show him greater things like this. Notice the Father. How does the Father express love for the Son? He shows him or reveals. Now, is that important? Yes. Because we said something last week about what Jesus said about concerning what we call the rapture. We are the ones who call it rapture. The Bible doesn't call it rapture. You'll be shocked that you find there's no verse of scripture called rapture. Okay, so we call it the catching away of the saints. But Jesus said something shocking. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. See what Jesus said. So in case you thought Jesus was omniscient when he was here, if he retained his omniscient quality, he would be God. But the Bible says he was not only born as a man, he had to grow. God doesn't grow. He increased in favor in stature with God and with man. He had to do that. He was tempted, so he was fully a man. Why was he referred to as the Son of God? It means that humanity had no direct impact on his birth. He put on flesh. Means it wasn't flesh originally. So he took on flesh. That was why Joseph meeting Mary wasn't required for Jesus' conception. It was the Word that put on flesh. So that the seed came originally from where? From heaven. Because you find in scriptures also that Adam is also referred to as the Son of God. Why? Adam wasn't born by anybody. He was just created. So he was also referred as the Son of God. So talking about God as his creator. Now look at what it says here. Are we there? Verse 30. Where are we? But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, did you see that? But the Father. He's spoken about the rapture. He says the Son doesn't know. The Son, in what dispensation? The Son as he was in the four Gospels. What will the Father show him that day? Now, here's the issue. If the Father shows him that day, when it's by the Father's right hand, when nothing can be hidden from him, we also are there. So nothing can be hidden from us also. Except you don't want to know. Your eyes are wide now. I need to get this. I need to get this. Of that day and that hour, no man knoweth, not the angels, not the Son in his present stage. That tells you that whatever honor and authority and standing that Jesus had, it was still inferior to what he had when he rose from the dead. Do you understand? He was still inferior. So we now begin to understand that it was more than a drama. This was an experience. It was, you know, we said something earlier that the name that is above all names that was reserved for Jesus wasn't J-E-S-U-S. How many of you agree that? It wasn't J-E-S-U-S because there were people being J-E-S-U-S before Jesus was born. Joshua in the original Hebrew is the same thing as Jesus. Okay, so when you say things like, you know, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, five number of grace, The reason why it won't work is because Joshua is also Jesus. And Joshua is six letters. You understand? So when you start doing those Bible calculations, you are going to go off the road. Okay? It means Jehovah is salvation. That's what it just means. Now, his name therefore means something else. Because he was given a name that's above every name, implies that there was a rank, a standing, and a stature that was reserved and was not given to anyone except one who qualified for it. That's the only way it could be given him that's above every other name. It means that it was prepared, reserved, waiting for the person who will accomplish the feat it will take to earn that name. Because Jesus earned the name. It wasn't just bestowed. It wasn't just by conquered. It was conferred upon him. Hallelujah. You know, in the army, the highest rank is that of a field marshal. Very few achieve it in their lifetime. We have generals, we have major generals, we have lieutenant generals. But to be a field marshal, very few people. So you have someone like Alexander the Great. You won't even know his surname. Some of us don't know his surname. He's called Alexander, I think, is it Bonaparte? No, that's not Napoleon. Now, he was called the Great because of the kind of conquest. Interestingly enough, he was a man of small stature. But he had a lion heart. And so it was called the Great. So the Great there is one in the title. The Great there is a symbol of his exploits. Do you understand? So listen carefully. Whatever Jesus was given when he rose, what he was given as a name is a summary of his achievements. When you say the name, you are speaking about the feat, the achievement, the accomplishment. They are all encompassed in the name. It means that without the feat and the accomplishment and the achievement, that name cannot exist. That's what it means. Do you understand? Let me give this illustration again. If I say, Mr. Debumi, can you please stand up if I say that? Or I introduce that, this is Mr. Debumi. I just told you, in summary, that there is a lady. Hallelujah. There is a lady who was once single, who was born a number of years ago, who met a man called Mr. Debumi, and they were in a relationship. And one day they went to the registry, they got married, they went to church, they also got married. And I just told you all that in a song when I say Mr. Debumi. Mr. Debumi is my way of telling you there's a lady who has a man as a husband and she's under the church. Do you understand that? Okay? So, Mr. Debumi is a portable way of referring to the status that she has. So, when you say the name of Jesus, it's not J-E-S-U-S. It's a portable way of referring to the last Adam. Or the one who came out of the womb of death. The firstborn among every creature. No wonder we need to pray to understand the name. Understanding name means that we know it's not mentioned that the Bible teaches us. It's not mentioned. Can you mention your nature? No, you can't mention your nature. The Bible doesn't teach at the mention of the name. No, it teaches at the name. It means name carries weight and influence. That at the name, or when the name comes to bear, it is a mention. That means the name can work without mention. Hallelujah. A name can work without mention. So when it says, on that day of that hour, no man knoweth but the Father. And it now tells us in chapter 5 that the Father will show the Son. It means Jesus is saying that in his rank and standing, when he rises from the dead, everything that is called knowledge and wisdom and revelation will dwell in him. And if it dwells in him, it dwells in us. Because we are in him. Hallelujah. Do you understand that now? So of that day, of that hour, will we know? Oh yes. Why? We are sons. And the Father loveth the Son. And showeth him. Say, Father, show us all things. Hallelujah. That's one of the ways he demonstrates love. He shows us all things. That's tremendous. He shows us all things. John chapter 16. John's Gospel chapter 16. So we said in prayer, what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? I deliberately going through all this again because some things have to be repeated for it to register. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Very well, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus here again speaks about a future event. He wasn't asking them that hour to ask. He was saying, up till now, or up till this season in which I'm revealing to you what is about to happen, you've asked nothing. How did I get their prayers answered? Well, they prayed to Jesus. So Jesus was saying, you will not use my name, listen carefully now, as a means of getting to the Father. Listen carefully, because that's one of the areas where we have missed it. We've thought Jesus was teaching that when you are coming to the Father, if you want access, just mention my name. That's not what he said. No. Let me read that verse again so you see it. And we've got to pardon the translators of King James, because they put commas in certain areas, which we will remove for you to mix in, because the original Greek doesn't have such commas. It means the translators took their liberty to put commas in certain areas that if you read contextually, the comma doesn't fit. It will give you wrong interpretation. But before we go into the comma, look at what it says again. It says, and in that day you shall ask me not. Which day is it referring to? The day of resurrection. The day of the inauguration. So if this is the day of resurrection, our name for that day means I go to my Father. Our name for that day is when I arrive at the Father's right hand. What will he need to do to arrive? He will go by the way of the cross. If he arrives at the Father's right hand, what does he imply? Our sins have been paid for. Do you understand all that? Now, so he says, in that day, okay, figure of speech, another portable way of saying, and the day when the sins of humanity are paid for. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In that too, have you asked nothing? So, what were they asking? How they were praying? Because they said, you've asked nothing. Why did they say you've asked nothing? Everything they've done, expense place of prayer, in the place of signs and wonders, they didn't ask in his name. They couldn't ask in his name. Let me put it another way. Their asking his name was to say, they spoke to a demon and said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Did the demon leave? Yes. But Jesus is now saying, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. So obviously the asking he's talking about can be, in the name of Jesus, you demon go out. In the name of Jesus, be healed. It can't be that, because they were doing that. Luke chapter 9 tells us they did that. Luke chapter 10 tells us that he sent them out and they came back rejoicing. That even the demons are subject to us in your name. So you can't say, hitherto have you asked nothing. They will say, Jesus, what are you saying? In what name have you been asking? So whatever asking is referring to can be, you demon, go out in the name of Jesus. That's what we're saying. Look at the next verse after, so you see in context. I need to get this. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time coming when I shall no more speak unto you in what? How is Jesus speaking? How is he speaking? How is he speaking? So, do you understand that as he was speaking them, did they understand? No. Did they understand fully? In fact, he had told them in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. But you can't bear them now. How be it when the Spirit of truth shall come? Another figurative expression. What do I mean figurative? The Spirit of truth could not come until Jesus was glorified. How many of you agree? So you see, when he will come, if the Spirit of truth will come, and he can't come until Jesus is glorified, and Jesus will now say more to us through the Spirit of truth, it means that when he's glorified, and you and I become new creations, with the indwelling of the Spirit, revelation will come. The things that were once proverbs will become our reality. Are you with me tonight? So, see what it says. Verse 26. Okay, let me read again. I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Could he show them as he was speaking to them? No. I shall. Future. Why will I be able to show you? I'm at the Father's right hand. What's the implication? The indwelling of the Spirit, the new creation. I'll be able to show you. Say plainly. Say, right now, we know the Father plainly. There is no veil between us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know what that means. We know him, there's no veil. We're not like Moses with a veil. We see him plainly and he sees us. We see him as he sees us. Hallelujah. I will show you plainly. That day I will show. So what did Jesus really want? I want to show you plainly of the Father. I can't. You don't have the nature. I don't have the right now. I don't have the authority to do that to you. But the day is coming, I will have the right. You will have the nature. And the Spirit will be indwelling you, and it will bring the fullness, for the Spirit is the Spirit of sonship, whereby you and I can cry, Abba, Father. Glory to God. All right, see what it says next now. Verse 26. And that day, he's mentioning the day again, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father. Did you see that? Jesus said, I am not going to be your go-between. Let me put it another way. Listen carefully, because it's important. I won't be your go-between. I'm not going to say I'll pray the Father for you. It's not that, so you know, listen, the way we pray sometimes is this: God, if you don't want to answer me because of Jesus, please answer. Sin consciousness. That's sin consciousness. That's a lack of understanding of who you are now in Christ Jesus. So that's why you see people having visions. That, you know, God was angry, but Jesus was not crying. And say, Father, don't come now. Don't do that now. Please, for my sake, for my blood. Who do you think shed the blood? Think about it. Visions are not scriptural. And people begin to predict, you know, by so as though Jesus is coming. How can you be in the dark and the day should catch you unawares? We're not of the night, we're children of the day. Hallelujah. We're not of the night. Think about it. So their perception is a function of the fact that their mind is unrenewed. So it affects the visions that they see. Jesus said, in that day, I won't say to you, I will ask the Father for you. I'm not your go-between in that sense. No. It is as though the way I am with the Father is the way you will be with the Father. That's what it means. So I'm not your go-between. It's not as though if you don't want to answer me, that's where we get some songs from, you know, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Then why did you come? And then you're like, if God sees that, God says, this boy is very humble. No, you're very foolish. Sorry, but it sounds humble. I have made you too small. Enlarge your vision. You are making too small in your eyes. You can make God small. How? Think about it. So there are songs we sing. They are antichrist. This is what does that mean? They're against the finished work of Christ. And if you understand what I'm thinking tonight, you will. I'm going to say something that may shock you a little bit. I can't pray in the name of Jesus and say, Father, forgive me of all my sins of yesterday. That's not praying in the name of Jesus. That's not the name at all. I'm already praying outside the name. Because in that name, there's no record of sins against me. I can't pray in the name of Jesus and be asking for forgiveness of sins. It's not a minister of sin, it's a minister of righteousness. And if I'm in him, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the challenge we have is that if you remove forgiveness of sin from some believers' prayer, they have no prayer point. Prayer point is over. How can you take away from us forgiveness of sins? But Jesus gave you forgiveness as a nature. Hallelujah. That's how you became saved. You were forgiven once and for all. Why were you forgiven once and for all? The sacrifice was perfect. The payment was exceeding. The penalty was great. So you don't need to ask again. To ask again is not praying the name. To pray in the name is to act like who you really are in him. I'm jumping. So let me go back here. So you see this. You need to see this. What you're schooled to do, you'll find difficult to change your mind about until you assimilate the truth of your epistles and pray and meditate. You read the scriptures. I don't know if you've ever studied and you saw and you shouted. I mean, you ran around. I don't know. Me, I ran around. Then you jump in one spot. As I started speaking in tongues, like, Hakaba Hasata. Hey! Even God is looking at them. You're like, no. They're like, no. Did I just see that? Is that inside the Bible? Is he talking about me? Hallelujah. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And there are things he has done I'm yet to discover. But I'm not staying where I am. I'm discovering more and more every day. See what he says again. He says, for the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed. Say, I have believed. I don't keep believing. You believe once. Once. You believe once. And when you believe once, you are a son like he is a son. You have access to the Father. But you believe how? Once. You don't keep believing. Your believing is once. And that's so important. Because if you know you believe only once, you realize that to use the name doesn't require faith. It doesn't. You became born again once. You are now a son once and for all. The standing is once and for all. The standing doesn't improve. Your understanding improves. The Father himself loveth you. That word love you means that exactly the kind of love he has for me. Because of who I am. Not because of what I've done. Because of who I am. I am what? A son. He can't turn his eyes away from the seed that came from him. And we came from him. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth. Hallelujah. That's what it means to pray in the name. It means pray in the reality of who you are now as he is. John, 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. You read that verse, you say to yourself, you meditate, you pray in tongues. Behold. Hallelujah. Don't overlook the word. It's more than English. Behold, stand, gaze, look. And be looking at it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed that we should be called? Then you now see that. What does it mean to be called? It means your sins are forever forgiven. It means you are now the circumcision. It means you are the only one who can worship God in the spirit. It means he has said concerning you, and let all the angels of God worship him. And what it means. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, the word bestowed, he has conferred, he has lavishly given. That we should be called. What we are called, because he can't lie, is what we are. Do you understand? And what we have is a rank and a standing and a status. That's what it means. Hebrews 1:5, the Bible says, by so much. Hebrews 1:5. Glory to God. Hebrews 1:5. Verse 4. Verse 4. Be made so much better than the angels, as he has by one inheritance obtained a more excellent. Now look at that word name now, if you want to understand it, as he has obtained a more excellent rank, a more excellent status, a more excellent standing. Because he compares name and angels, and he doesn't mention angels individually by name. So the word angels is a cadre of being. So the word name is referring to a cadre of being also. So when it says angels, something comes to mind. Servants, ministering spirits, flames of fire. When it says son, what do you hear? Inheritance. Inheritance. They are the only ones who can inherit. That's what son means. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I begat thee. I didn't create, I begat thee. It means DNA for DNA, we share the same heredity. That's what it means. This day have I begotten thee. And because I begat thee, and you carried my seed, and I call you son, then if the angels worship me, I ask them that they should worship you also. That's what he's talking about. Do you understand? It's a different plane of existence entirely. Look at verse 5 again. I win verse 5. What is it? And again, I will be to him one a father, and he shall be to me a son. Next verse. And again, when he began, he first begun in the word, and he said, and let all the angels of God the word worship him. That verse 5 says that unto which of the angels said he at any time, if he said it, they are promoted out of their previous rank. Why couldn't he say they were not begotten by God? They were created by God. There's a difference. But to the first begotten. What does it mean to first begotten? The first among many brethren. So the way he was born is the way you were born. So when God said, thou art my son, he said to you, thou art my son. And that my son is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you say in the name, you are saying as a son. What is he saying? So if I pray, I said, Father, thank you. Every good thing and every perfect gift that you are giving me, you just prayed in the name of Jesus, which I'm mentioning Jesus. What are you doing? Your prayer is acknowledging what Jesus has done. You are praying in the name. Do you understand now? So praying in name is not, you know, that you must mouth Jesus. Africans like formula. Say it 7 times. Let it sound like thunder. You say it's seven times, he has more efficacy. No. The efficacy is your understanding and the revelation that you have. So if you shout it like thunder, your voice will just go hoarse. It doesn't mean it's just with comfort, because we still don't have revelation. Is this culture of idolatry enough? The way they will give you something to go and mention a number of times that you're also now applying to the word of God. I didn't see Peter going to my body and say that, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of, I've not yet gotten up. Or like people said, like, they even mimic Sadim. In the name of Jesus. No, it's not the way you pronounce it. It's not pronunciation, it is revelation. Hallelujah. It's not pronunciation. It's not. Nobody believes to drive their car. You just drive your car. You don't. You don't believe to enter your house. You might get announcing to the door of your house. And now believe that when I open, you open. Think about it. Nobody does that. They just put the key in your lock. You know the exact angle. Without checking your door, when you close it, there's a click you are used to that when it closes, you are aware of. So you don't enter your house by faith. You don't drive your car by faith. It's unconscious. It's your car. It belongs to you. You don't pray before you use it. You simply use it because it belongs to you. Hallelujah. So when he says, in that day you shall ask me nothing, the Father himself loveth you, it means the same boldness, same standing. You are not cooking up the boldness. You are not trying to make up the status. It is who you are now. So you are praying in the reality of who you are. That's why you can't confess sins in the name of Jesus, because you are a new creation. A new creation means all things are passed away. Behold, all things are not. Somebody said, but Pastor, I did some things wrong. We all do. Should you confess it? No. What are you meant to confess? Thank you, Father, for my sins are forgiven. You have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. That's praying in name. And I've not mentioned the name of Jesus yet. I just prayed in name. So you notice that they can confess. That's where sin consciousness comes from. And sin consciousness makes you do funny things. It's sin consciousness that brings formula in prayer. You know, I'll sing for 5 minutes. I'll dance for 10 minutes. I'll rabble up for 15. When God sees the way I am, that as I'm entering the gates of which gate? You know, you can imagine God is like, if God could be discussing in there, we'll be discussing. Gabriel. Didn't Jesus make this fellow a son? All I have, did I not give it to him? He has very little sense. It's obvious he doesn't have much sense, but he still is somebody. Sense is not much there. He is revealing. Because you are trying to convince your father. It sounds preposterous when we use it. Imagine my son just saying that, Daddy, when I hear Daddy, I know who he's talking. So now you say, Daddy, it's your son. Alex, your son. Your only son, Alex. I'm not thinking, is there a problem? Is that what they taught you, Jesus? Are you made for drama for Christmas program? Because I'm like, your son, your only son. And like, I don't know, I have just one son. This guy says, like, when you say, so he's like, are you trying to use that to psych me? Or how does that change the fact or increase the facts that I gave back to you? No. If you know I gave back to you, you won't say those statements. What will you say, Daddy? Can I have? Why are you saying can I have? Your friend can't come to me and say the same thing because he's not a son. But you can because you're a son. Can you see the difference? So when you pray, the boldness in prayer, appropriating all that Christ has done, is what the Bible refers to as praying in the name. What does that mean? I'm not saying that, Lord, I hope you can see Jesus. If you don't even like what I've done, whatever, just look at Jesus and have mercy on me. No. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That grace is grace of sonship. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. We have access by faith. We're not praying for access. We're not dancing our way into access. We have access by faith into this grace. And what says, wherein we are currently standing.
And because we are there already, what do?
We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Where we are, we rejoice. Wherever in his presence, we carry his presence. As a matter of fact, we are his presence. Hallelujah. So when he says in the name, that is what he means. What he has accomplished, what he has done when he rose from the dead. Peter puts it this way in Acts chapter 2, in verse 32. Say, and this Jesus has God raised up. Well, for all witnesses. And he being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed for this, which both see and hear. Was talking about the people receiving the indwelling of the Spirit with the idea of speaking in tongues. So you now understand what he meant. Look at that, Mark chapter 16 again. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. Are you there? Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? That word damned is the word condemned, shall be condemned. Notice he that believeth not. So when it says he that believeth not, it's not a reference to somebody who has not had. The one who has not had cannot have opportunity to reject. He that believeth not is somebody who has had. So you get that? That's what he that believeth not. So when you say those who obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, it's talking about those who were exposed to the gospel and rejected it. That's what it means. He that believeth not. You can't refer to he that believeth not as somebody who has never had. Okay? So see what it says next. And these signs, listen carefully, shall follow them that believe. Now again, listen carefully. To believe here means to believe in the name. To believe in name here means to be born again. To believe here is not I am born again, then I have to believe in the name. That's not what it's teaching. This is where we miss it. It's not teaching believing in the name as a separate experience from being born again. You have believed in the name and you are not a new creation. It is the name that made you a new creation. That believing is once. Glory to God. Are you me tonight? So you believe only how many times? Once. When you believe, you enter into the experience. What is the experience? This sign shall follow. Now, let me now remove the comma so you see what it says. Here this way is written. Either this sign shall follow them that believe, comma. Then ima is not even comma service. What? What do you call this? Semicolon. So it says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Now, if you remove the corner, here's what it says. The comma. It says, or the semicolon rather, it says, and this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Read it that way. Moses, are you with me tonight? And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Let me rephrase it. And this sign shall follow those who are new creations. Because believe in my name is a phrase in the Greek. It means this sign shall follow the believing ones. Who is a new creation? A believing one. A new creation is not somebody who tries to believe. He is a believer by constitution. And so he became a believing one, a new creation. And this sign shall follow those that believe in my name. What signs will follow them? They shall what? So change the shall, put the day behind it. Say, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Let me rephrase that. If I become a new creation, to be a new creature means to have the ability to cast out devils. So I don't become a new creation and cook up the ability. I am a new creation and the ability is present for me as a new creation. Listen. I can't believe to be a man. Now, it's too late. I am a man. I know. My wife knows. You all know. Look at my features. Okay. I have the physique of a man. There's nothing feminine about me at all. So you can't suspect that maybe I'm queer. You cannot suspect I'm not queer. You don't see me walking like this. You don't see any of those things. Okay. So I am a man. I can't be believing to be a man. I know I'm a man. I believe to be a new creation. Once I become one, I am a new creation. And because I am a new creation, by constitution, I cast out devils. So it says in my name, here's what it's saying. As a new creation, I cast out devils. That means that, is it wrong to say, you foul spirit, come out in the name of Jesus? It's not. As long as you are aware That the reason why you can do that is not the magic in the name, is the status and the standing of the name. And that name is what you represent. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So this is why revelation is important. You are the substance of the name. So here's what we think. You have been born again for many years, and then you are now looking for one power or the anointing service. If I started this church with anointing, I would have made money, huh? Just say that. After we do Holy Ghost meeting, I say power. Say, I made a wonder power. Just come for anointing service. Special oil. We label it. Pastor T will be selling 1,000 naira. 1,000 or 2,000. When we put small oil here, they said that, go out and try it. It works like fire. Why? It's not. Why can I walk in a greater measure? Not because I have a greater measure, it's a greater understanding. That's all. There's no difference. I'm not talking about ministry now. I'm talking about my office as a son, as you are also a son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, that we should be called. So let's look at it this way. Behold, or gaze upon and focus on the tremendous love that the Father bestowed to make it possible to be called a son. So before you were called a son, something took place. He now says, what took place to make that possible is great and so vast. And it was a demonstration of Father's love. And that demonstration now makes you, so to be called, as far as God is concerned, means that it is not a figure of speech, it's not a positional truth, it's a reality. Once you are a son, you can't be an angel. You understand? You know, to be an angel means to shift rank. In fact, it means to be demoted. Once you are a son now, all the Father has belongs to you. He now says, what manner of love? Now, do you understand the dimension of love as in the operation for God to call you that? Behold, gaze upon it. See, what manner? Are you a son? Yes. How do you walk in it? Affirm it regularly. Oh, there are enough events around you to make you forget it. So he says, this sign shall follow the believing ones. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name is not a special power somewhere. It's your constitution as a son. It's your rank. Because you are in that name, and that name is in you. Hallelujah. They will speak with new tongues. So I can declare and confess, I speak with new tongues. Do you speak with new tongues? Yes. I cast out devils. Do you cast out devils? Yes. I lay hands on the sick and they get healed. Do you lay hands on the sick and they get healed? Yes. So you don't now say, the sick are here, I'm coming. Oh, kapaha sata. Say, nay. 3 days fasting, I'm coming. Imagine me doing 3 days fasting to be a man. Won't you think something is wrong with that? Man is prayers. He's doing 3 days fasting to act like a man. He wants to be aware as a man. No. In the same way also, you're already a son. It's too late to be anything else. Hallelujah. It's to be anything else. What do? You walk in the consciousness of it. That's what he's talking about. So, in that verse of scripture, the only one he uses E for is deadly thing, because that one, you say, I can't dig deadly thing. No, no. If you drink any deadly thing, you cannot say you are familiar. That was like, if you drink, if I drink, not that if I, that shall not tempt the Lord thy God by drinking deadly thing. Say, and if I drink deadly thing, it shall not what? What to me? So he's talking about what belongs to us because we have believed already. Nowhere in the epistles is a believer asked to believe. He's a believer. Why? He's believing his once. This was a revelation that E.W. Kenyon had, that his generation called him a heretic. A believer, not once in the epistles is a believer asked to believe. He believes once, he is a believer now. A believer means he's a son of God by constitution. He has rights and privileges. Casting out devils is one of them. Speak with new tongues, one of them. Why do you speak with tongues with ease and don't heal the sick with ease? You are more conscious of speaking in tongues. Why do some people heal the sick and they don't speak in tongues? They are not aware they can speak in tongues anytime. They focus more on healing the sick, and what they do, they get results. So they are just exercising a part of their nature more than the other, not because they have more than others. Hallelujah. How many of there are people who heal the sick and they don't speak in tongues? Yeah. And they don't know they can. What do? You sit them down. Say, can you read? Can you read?
Do you believe the authority of the word of God? Open your Bible. You teach them. A young man came to me some years ago and said, this my brother, there's nothing we have not told him. He said, no, it's not compulsory whether he should speak in tongues. I said, they've tried to lay hands on him and everything. I said, no, I won't lay hands on him. So I told him, sit there. I took my chair. It'd be far from me, deliberately. Try for him. So I started opening the Bible. I started sharing. This was 2002. I shared to a point. The other brother that was complaining that I brought him, said, I shared to a point. He just busted aside speaking in tongues. The one said, no, it's not compulsory. He just started speaking in tongues. What happened? Truth. What did you do? He removed the barrier. And tongues came out of his spirit. Why? He didn't need, there was no need for laying on hands. Let's just say we put something on you. No. We didn't put anything on you. You just know, and thou shalt know the truth. Hallelujah. So the same way also, what do we need? Teaching of God's word more. No, not more prayer. Prayer as a lifestyle is good. But the same way you speak in tongues, it's not that there's a greater ability to speak than to heal the sick. No. It's what you are conscious of. It's our thinking that makes us think that as long as healing is sick, please, I'm coming back. Today's Wednesday. We meet on Friday. And you're like, between that time and heaven must come down, I will pray my everything. No. It's the same way. Can you speak with tongues now? Why? You are a believing one. You have believed once to be able to speak. You have believed once you are able to heal. You have believed once you can cast out devils. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it means to pray in the name. And they say, this shall follow the believing ones. Have you believed? Have you believed? Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5. Let's touch on that one also. And then we go home tonight. You know, I hope you can. Just touch on it. 1 John 5. To buttress this. 1 John 5. And let's read from verse... Alright, let's read from verse 11. And this is the record or testimony that God has given to us eternal life. Listen carefully. And this life is in his Son. What did God give us? Eternal life. Notice the phrasing. This is the testimony or record that God has pastors giving to us. Who is John writing to? Believers. So, what is the testimony or the record that God has that he has given us eternal life already? Notice the next phrase, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son. John writes his epistles almost in the reverse. If you don't understand John's style of writing, you will enter into works. John said, this is the record. What is God's record? Something that has taken place in the past. God's record is to inform believers of what who they are and what they have, not what they are going to have if they do one or two things. Notice again, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son. So did God give you eternal life and gave you Jesus? No. He gave you Jesus, and inside Jesus is eternal life. Let's see the next verse. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not what? Life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Exactly the same thing he said in verse 12. How do you believe on the name of the Son of God? You have the Son of God. And when you have the Son, you have life. Do you understand that? Are you following? So these things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that having believed on the name, what it means is this: you have eternal life. This last part, that you may believe on the name, is not in the original text. That would have been tautology. It doesn't make sense. So check every other translation. You won't find it except King James. Are you with me? Are you getting it? So see it again. And this next verse. No, previous verse. These things have I written unto you. That one, believe. Why am I writing? To inform you that when you believed on the name, you actually received what? Eternal life. Okay, that you may know. So can you have something without knowing? Yes. Just like the other apostles, John is writing to the believer so that the believer can walk in what he has. Does he have it? Yes, he's a believer. But walking is not automatic because it's based on what he knows, what he has. So this is everything that you may know that you have it. This is what you have. And if you have it, you are a son. If you are a son, the life, the standing, the status, the rank you all have. Look at verse 14 now. Now, look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will. Here again, there is an injustice with the way the commas were placed. So, here is the way we have read it. If we ask anything that is in accordance with his will, God will hear. In other words, if we ask anything that is not in line with his will, he will not hear. Is that not how you have read it before? Well, that's not what he's saying. The previous verse, let me say one thing. If God says that you should pray and whatever you desire, you will receive. If my prayer is strictly based on what God wants me to pray, that's not my desire. I hope you understand that. Should I say that again? If my prayer must be based on what God wants, then he can't tell me that whatever I ask. No. You don't use whatsoever I ask when you already said that what I should ask for is what you agree on. No. If it is what I want, that's when it makes sense. That's when I hope you understand. Because you won't talk about boldness and all that. So he's saying that if I enter and I start to pray, there's a confidence that I have. What is that confidence? That confidence is not in verse 14, it's in verse 13. That confidence is knowing that I have the Son. Let me rephrase it a little bit. See again. Thank you, Pastor T. This is about reaching to you that what? Who is he writing to? What does it mean to believe on a name? What does it mean to believe on a name? To have eternal life. What does it mean to have eternal life? To be a son, isn't it? So I've written this unto you that you may know. And then verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will. What is the confidence? The confidence is that we have eternal life. Sorry, let me rephrase that. That we know that we have eternal life. And he that has the Son has that life. If we have the Son, listen carefully, and I'm asking in prayer, why am I confident that God will hear? Because God cannot but hear the Son, and I'm a son. Are you getting it? Did you just get it? Should I say that again? What is the confidence? It is the knowledge that I have the Son and I have eternal life. That's where confidence comes from. Okay? And asking according to his way. Now, where does the phrase according to his way, does it apply? According to his way is not applies to one thing. It is always in accordance with God's will to hear the Son. Hallelujah. Always. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me see that you understand what I mean. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 12. 1 Peter 3, 12. This is a direct quotation from the book of Psalms. All the New Testament epistles, in one form or the other, are taken primarily from the book of Psalms. Sorry, from the Old Testament by revelation. Okay? Because the New Testament is the reality of those scriptures. Okay, so this is a quotation that Peter took from the book of Psalms. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over, say over. And yes, I want open unto. Did he say, this is that they are prayers. Are you the righteous? Do you pray? He says, God's ears are what? Open. Did you see that? So notice now, listen carefully now. It is not how do I say so you get it? It is not necessarily the prayers that God is listening to, it is the righteous is listening to. Should I say another way? You get it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Why is his ear open to their prayers? Because of who they are. Do you understand now? The content of their prayer is just to determine. The answer is because of who they are. If God cannot say no to Jesus, he can't say no to you. That is the confidence that we have. Do you understand? According to his will. It is in accordance with his will that he hears us. It is God's actual will to hear you in prayer. He's not saying that if you pray according, it is God's personal will that you have answers to prayer because of who you are. So his eyes and his ears are open. His eyes are over. His ears are what? Open. Do you see that? So when you pray with that confidence. What's that confidence? We know that we have eternal life. And he that has the Son
has this life. See, if I have eternal life, I have the Son. What does it mean to have the Son? It means to be a son also. So when I pray, Father, you know that word Father is music. But when you say Father, it's not an impressive term. It's a language of relationship. He actually is your Father. For we have not received the bondage, spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are what? Hallelujah. That we are. That's what we are. So when you say, Father, thank you, you just prayed in the name. But you can say, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. You just prayed in the name. That's what you just did. Because you are praying with what Jesus did or has done as a content of your prayer. You are praying in the name. Hallelujah. You are praying in the name. Okay. So when Peter went and saw that man by the beautiful gate, when he asked him, and people were wondering, how did that happen? This man has never walked. I say, never walked. Peter was simply saying, why are you so surprised? If you have been examined this day, why this man is able to walk, it is that name and faith in that name. When he said faith in that name, he wasn't preaching or teaching an extra faith that the believer needs to get. He was saying, because we're new creations in Christ Jesus, that's why we're able to do this. The same power that brought Jesus out, that brought us out, brought this man up. That's what Peter was saying. Wasn't it not something that is, no. If you see people walking their authority, your mind, you would think that way, some people have power. No, they're walking their authority. I've seen demons live without saying anything. You just know. You're not trying not to be afraid, though. It's that you are not afraid. When I didn't know as much as I know now, 3 different times in one day, a madman ran towards me and knelt down. He did it 3 times. After he did it, when I go and said, oh my goodness, what was I doing? I should have laid hands on the man. 3 different times. He saw something. I didn't know enough. I should have laid hands on this man. This man, everybody was running in fact. If he runs the direction, you also will run. You don't believe to lay hands, you believe for speed. To disappear. But somehow, I just couldn't. There was just a confidence that nothing will happen. And it's because when Jesus was walking, listen carefully, as Jesus or the 4 Gospels, if he enters a place, demons start screaming. They knew. How much more? And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. When you show up, he shows up. Where he is, you are. Where you go, he goes. Can you now see that? You can't be praying in the name of Jesus and say, Father, as I'm going to a kitchen now, go with us. God say, hey, I need invitation to go with you. And when we are coming back, come with us. I say, hey. Sin consciousness. And he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you boldly say, do you know what that statement actually also means? Is referring to the new creation. That you and I are inextricably joined together. We can't be separated again. If you go somewhere, it's me going. Do you understand? It's me going. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. If you know he's your helper, you will never be afraid again. A woman enters the delivery room, and he knows this is not labor room, this is delivery room. Jesus won't struggle here, so I won't struggle here also. And you go in, I say, Jesus, we're going in and we're coming out together, for the very life of God is at work in me. And you're conscious. You're not opening the prayer, we walk. You know it's who you are now. Hallelujah. It's who you are. A man of God said he came out from a trip and wife told him that, you know, they said I have miscarriage. He said, it can't happen. Can I have my food? And that's not the way to address a woman sometimes, because she's still emotional. You're saying, can I have my food, please? It cannot happen. Say, but check this. I say, it cannot happen. So he didn't check the results. And the pregnancy that was miscarried was carried. What's the difference? He just said, I just know that. No, that's not. A woman came and said, sir, this is happening again. This is the fourth time. You see, I'm losing it. She said, why? He said, I'm bleeding. The man took blade, cut his hand. I'm bleeding also. Am I having miscarriage? And then you think this man is crazy. He said, but I'm also bleeding. Does that mean I have miscarriage? He said, hey, but I said, go have your baby. And the baby stayed. He said, you understand? He said, because you are saying, because you are bleeding, you have. He said, how does it? He said, it's excess blood. He said, what does I say? Excess blood that wants to pass out. He said, I'm also bleeding. Does that mean I'm miscarriage? Just a consciousness, a supernatural awareness of who we are. You lay hands with confidence. As I'm touching you, the power of God is upon you. I'm a container of God's power. I'm conscious of it. Hallelujah. Let's walk in that consciousness. It's so important. The name is not the mention of the name. Don't forget. That's where we get into gimmicks. No. The name is the consciousness of the name. It's not mentioned. Should you mention? Yes. Can you mention? Yes. But make sure you do so with a consciousness, not as a formula. Hallelujah. That's a formula. I understand we like to worship God, sometimes give different names, but the best thing we can still use is Father. There was nobody that gave him those names in the past can say Father like you can say Father. They called him after his acts. You call him after his nature. He is your Father. Hallelujah. So the highest praise you can still give God today, you know, it's not Atere Kaya, no. He said, I'm like, by you, you are mighty. Now, some say, is something wrong with the new song? No, not necessarily. But it affects our consciousness of God. Because you keep looking at him as the creator only. And is revealed to you as your Father. You share DNA. You share DNA. Hallelujah. That's why sin can't be recorded against you. It doesn't mean you don't do things wrong. It's just that you don't understand. As long as you're of this lineage, it can't happen. It can't be recorded against you. Sin dulls the mind. Sin dulls the consciousness. But it doesn't change your nature. Your nature is too big for that. It's stronger than that. No matter how long it takes that a dog walks with a pig and eats what the pig eats, it will never stop being a dog. The back is still inside the dog. And that's on a natural level. How much more? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and give him praise tonight. I'm in the name, and the name is in me. I have confidence in that name. I have mastery in that name. I have authority in that name. I have boldness in that name. I have sound health in that name. I have supernatural favor at work in that name. Wherever God is welcome, I am welcome. As he is, so am I in this world. The head can't say no to me. I have an eternal yes in Christ Jesus. All the promise of God, they are yes and they are amen. They are fulfilled in me. I experience heaven upon the earth. I'm a bearer of that name. He has called me son. Never will I walk in anything less again. All that the Father has is mine. Inheritance is mine to enjoy. He has given all things freely to enjoy. I am complete in him. There's nothing lacking unto me. I am complete in him. All the anointings, all the graces, all the abilities I require, they are in me today. I am of my Father. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. I have overcome already. I am more than a conqueror. Through him that has loved me. Hallelujah. I have mastery in life in the name of the Lord Jesus. I trample over serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. I have supernatural results. There's nothing ordinary about me. Hallelujah. I am supernatural, born of an extraordinary God. I am born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I win in all areas of life and I win convincingly. I have not received the spirit of fear, but of power of love and of a sound mind. I am bold in all affairs of life. I exercise dominion in every area. Satan has no power over me.
I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. I am in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in me. I have mastery. I have supernatural answers in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Through me, the gospel is preached. Lives are changed. I have the name above the authority. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in heart. Because in that name I have all power and I have all authority. When I speak, events turn around. Situations change when I speak. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name forever. I walk in sound health all the days of my life. No weakness is permitted to afflict my body. I have mastery over this body. I am a custodian. I am a steward of God's health. And I minister that same health to my body. Every part of my limb, every fiber of my being, every tissue and every cell in my body is working fine. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. God's wisdom is at work in me, for Christ is my wisdom. I enjoy supernatural wisdom. I have knowledge of witty inventions. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. Thank you, Father. I walk in a consciousness and a supernatural boldness of that name. Thank you, Father. God makes manifest through me the savour, the fragrance, the incense of his knowledge by me in every place. And wherever I go, that favor speaks, that favor answers. For in that name, I have favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.